Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Doing good. Awesome. Well, I've been as the staff here and the leaders here reflected on this last year, we were so encouraged by the depth of relationship that this community has with each other. That's a blessing, right? That's a blessing. And we're so encouraged by the love that this community has for God, the commitment, how that commitment comes through in our relationships, not only with each other, but in our relationships with God, and that flows into our week. That's really exciting. But today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Here as a church, we say the Holy Spirit is powerful, right? Amen? Holy Spirit is powerful and has a powerful impact on our lives. And I want to talk about one of the powerful impacts that the Holy Spirit can have on our lives in a precious gift that God gave us, and that's music. Okay? Music is powerful. Can we agree on that? Music is powerful. It's really, really powerful. And throughout my life, I've listened to a lot of different types of music. I've listened to, kind of started off in probably rock and roll. I dabbled a little in some punk and some heavy metal and then some rap and a little bit of everything, okay? I liked all music. And in the last few years, I've been listening to mostly a lot of classical music. And for many of you in the crowd, you're going, praise God, as this man has been maturing in Christ, he is listening to the Lord's music. I listen to a lot more than just classical music, but I appreciate the encouragement. Music is powerful. I was watching for the first time this week with my family Frozen 2. Has anyone watched Frozen 2? Really? Has any? That's it? A couple people. All right. Okay. Well, some of you have watched Frozen 2. For the rest of you, you're going to be oblivious to this, which blows my mind. This was supposed to be a relevant example here. So Frozen 2, okay? There's a song in Frozen 2 called Show Yourself. Show Yourself. And I'm listening to that song, and there's this princess, young woman, lady, Elsa, and she's got a lot of, emptiness and some angst and some other stuff going on inside, right? You might know the story better than me. This was my interpretation, so stay with me. And she's singing this song, and through what I'm going to say for the purpose of this message, the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, reveals who she is. And she weeps and is filled with joy and a newfound power. It's remarkable. And I wept because I think of how many people go through that same angst and hurt and suffering and lack of identity. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can find it. Now, maybe you're very well versed in Frozen 2 and you would like to debate the theology of Frozen after the service. I'm happy to do that. but music is powerful. Music is powerful. And you're saying, of course, Aaron, you think music is powerful. You're a musician. It's not a bad argument, except for all of culture for a long time agrees with me. Think of cinema. Take your favorite film, if you have one. If you don't, God bless, hang tight. We'll get through this example. But if you take your favorite film and you take the music out of it, maybe your favorite film is The Sound of Music. It's quite a bit different without the music bit, right? If you take the music out of it, it's not the same film. And in fact, music was in film before audio was in film, because people knew how powerful music is to inspire the one who's engaging with their cinema, right? I read my son Judah a lot of books, and one of the books that I read him is this one right here. It's called Giraffes Can't Dance, okay? I don't know the author. I don't know their perspective, but I'm going to share some pages from Giraffes Can't Dance with you this morning, if they'd throw up the first slide. Now, to give you some idea of what's going on, this is our friend Gerald. He's a giraffe, if you couldn't tell. But he can't dance. And in the jungle, they have dance parties. So Gerald's kind of like out, awkward, describes himself as a clot. What a neat word. And so he's feeling real sad inside. But then we're going to get to this point in the book. Oh, go back a page. What have you done to me? All right, I'm going to read it. Listen to the swaying grass and listen to the trees. To me, the sweetest music is those branches in the breeze. So imagine that the lovely moon is playing just for you. Everything makes music if you really want it to. Okay, next page. With that, we've got Jiminy here. The cricket smiled and picked up his violin. Then Gerald felt his body do the most amazing thing. His hooves had started shuffling, making circles on the ground. His neck was gently swaying, and his tail was swishing round. He threw his legs out sideways, and he swung them everywhere. Then he did a backward somersault and leapt into the air. It's impressive. Keep us going, team, I believe. Gerald felt so wonderful, his mouth was open wide. I'm dancing! I'm dancing! Yes, I'm dancing! Gerald cried. Even the people writing books understand the power of music, folks. It's powerful, and this music, so powerful that it inspired him to be incredibly bold and do the thing that he couldn't do, dance. But music's older than our recent decades or centuries. In fact, if we look at civilization going all the way back to the very first city in Genesis 3, guess what happened in that city? They played music and made instruments to accompany their music. And so every civilization that I'm aware of has played music together. Isn't that amazing? This may be significant. I don't know. Well, I think I know, but maybe you can teach me. Otherwise, Martin Luther, who many of us know, wrote this. If you want to comfort the sad, if you want to terrify the happy, if you want to encourage the despairing, if you want to humble the proud, if you want to pacify the aggressive, there is no more effective means than music. That's quite a bold statement about the power of music. But why is music so powerful? I can't tell you how music is so powerful. We're all uniquely and wonderfully made, and our connection to music, like Gerald the giraffe, might be different. Maybe the swaying breeze and trees and moon gets us to do our dance. But it is powerful. So the why, and I have a theory, is that music didn't start in Genesis 3. Music didn't start in Genesis 3. In fact, if we look at Job and we look at Proverbs, we see that creation was done to music. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Creation is done to music. There was an accompaniment to God's great creation. Job 38:7 says, "While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shout for joy." This is during creation. And in Proverbs 8:30-31, this is wisdom speaking. It says, I was there constantly at his side being God. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Creation was created to song, to music. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that. So the question for today is, what does this powerful gift of God mean for us? You curious? What's this powerful gift of God mean for us? Let's dig in. We're going to look at a few texts today, but kind of the focus text for the day is Ephesians 5. We'll be looking at 18 through 21. If you want to open your Bibles or your phones or whatever, it'll be handy to have the scripture right there because I'm going to refer back to it a number of times and it won't be on the screen, okay? But I'm going to summarize Ephesians 5, 8 through 17, which is leading up to our text. In 8 through 17, it says that we were once darkness, but now we're light. And it encourages us, commissions us to live as children of light. And what that looks like is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if we zip down towards the end of this kind of introduction to our text this morning, in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And that's where our text is going to start. It's going to start by talking about being drunk on wine or filled in the Spirit. But this is an interesting jump into that because 17 says, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Well, guess what? By the power of the Spirit, we know from John 16 that by the power of the Spirit, we can be led into all truth, right? By the power of the Spirit, we can be led into all truth. So if we are full of the Spirit, which Paul is going to talk about in just a second, then understanding what the Lord's will comes with that connection. When we are led by the Spirit, he leads us into all truth. And so, here we are with our text this morning, Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this morning to be here together, to learn from your word. Lord, I just pray that that you would encourage us, and I thank you for the powerful gift of music and how you would have us incorporate that into our lives as believers. God, I pray that you would just be opening our eyes. And in the opening of our eyes, we would experience a fearless boldness to follow your Spirit's leading wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. So this text starts off with an interesting statement from Paul. Don't get drunk. Don't get drunk. Okay? So why does Paul start this off by talking about being drunk? There's a lot of different possibilities, but the way I see it is this, because he follows it up by saying, be filled with the Spirit. So there's some connection between drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit. That's an interesting thing, right? Well, what's the connection? We can see it tangibly in Acts 2, right? At Pentecost, everyone receives the Spirit. They go out. They're standing on rocks and carts and, you know, you name it, all kinds of boldness. And they're speaking out. And everybody's hearing their language. People are in awe. They're in amazement. But they're also going, these guys are drunk. Why would they say that? Well, what would they lead them to believe that someone standing on a cart screaming in a language they knew they didn't know? Make them think, drunk guy. So they saw a fearless boldness and they assumed that the only justification for this incredible fearless boldness is that they must be drunk. Little did they know that when we're full of the Spirit, secure in who we are in the Spirit, in Christ, there's a fearless boldness. Amen? Amen. And there's a drastic difference because alcohol is a depressant. So alcohol will make you fearlessly bold at the cost of disconnecting you from reality. Alcohol will make you fearlessly bold at the cost of disconnecting you from reality. And that's why a lot of people use it. Sometimes reality stinks. Right? We'll get into that more in a second. Being filled with the Spirit gives a fearless boldness which opens your eyes to reality. And makes you more present to see the realities of the way things are. It does not disconnect you from reality. That's a powerful fearless boldness. That's a controlled fearless boldness. When I was talking about this topic with our team on Monday, Beverly reminded me of the story of Elisha. If you don't know the story, I'm going to share it to you in kind of summary. 2 Kings 6. How do you pronounce this? Arameans. Got it. Okay, so the Arameans are after Elisha. Why are they after Elisha? Well, you see, the king is like, how is it that Israel is one step ahead of us? This isn't a fair fight. And so one of his servants says, well, they got this guy Elisha, and he hears what you say in your bedroom. Awkward, right? Well, the king says, we got to get this guy. We're going to level the playing field. We need to take the bedroom hearer out of the other team's team. So they go after him. They're going after him. He's in Dothan. They send troops. They show up in Dothan. They're, from everything you can tell, you're fully in reality. They are surrounded. It's not looking good. The servant wakes up. Elijah's taking a nap. Servant wakes up. He comes in, gets Elijah. We're doomed. They're out there. We're as good as dead. And Elisha goes, here's a bottle of wine. Drink deeply and forget about it. No, that's not what he says. That's not what he says. Okay. No. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't give him wine and say, all right, get fearlessly bold, my brother. No, he prays. He prays to God and he says, open his eyes so he can see. And the Spirit opens his eyes. And when he looks out, what's he see? they're not outnumbered at all. There are chariots of fire everywhere. And suddenly, his fear of death is transformed into certain victory. That's crazy. And that's amazing. That's the power of the Spirit. It opens our eyes to the reality. We're more than conquerors in Christ. Yeah? It's no longer looks like death, but it looks like a conquest. And that's exactly what it becomes. Troops are blinded. They're led off to a city. They could be wiped out, but instead they give them a feast. And guess what? War's over. This dude fed us, so I guess we'll leave him alone. Spirit makes us fearlessly bold. And what's kind of the outpouring of that fearless boldness? Well, Paul then goes into five participles, which is basically like describers of what the outpouring of this fullness of Spirit look like, okay? And those five are speaking, singing, making music, giving thanks, and submitting. As I was studying this, I heard many commentators say that all five of these things can be acts of praise. But very clearly, three are. Okay, so there are musical elements to three of these encouragements. And I say musical, you'll see, hold on. Speaking is the first one. The word that's used there is leleon. It's not just a conversation. It's not like me hanging out with Ben Bird and chatting hockey. Okay, that's not the nature of this word. This word means utterances of any kind. Utterances of any kind. So I suppose you might include a conversation, but then it gives us a defining nature of these utterances, right? What's it say? It says psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Songs from the Spirit could mean a number of things. There are those that believe that means that these are songs about God or songs about our condition in relation to God, right? And there are others that believe that this is literal utterances of the Spirit through us. But they're not done alone. The language in this is that these utterances take place together, not just by yourself. That's what Paul's talking about here. I'm not taking away from the utterances that happen in the privacy of your home, but I'm saying right here, we're talking about community, okay? Then it says sing, pretty self-explanatory. Making music, again, that's a point back to the fact that this idea of making music is a corporate thing. It requires multiple people. I'm not saying it has to be on church on Sunday, but there's an inclusion of multitude. There's an inclusion of community. Giving thanks, also an act of praise, thanksgiving. The big thing with this that I think is important for us to grab hold to is that in verse 20, it says, There's two words that make this stand apart from some of the rest. It says, always give thanks. And then it says, for what? Anyone got it open? It says, always give thanks to God the Father for all things, everything. Yes, always, everything. Those are big words. That mean that giving thanks is like kind of like a shroud, a covering, something that is involved in all the other elements. And finally, submitting. This concept of submission can be a challenging one for a lot of people, but the way I see it in this text is that it is talking about a mutual submission that happens in the family of God, okay? We've talked about this many times before, but this is a posture of openness to encourage and also to be encouraged. Not thinking of oneself too highly, or as I have often said, taking yourself less seriously. Well, this is all fair and good. We see all these elements of being full of the Spirit, and yes, okay, music's got some role. I'm still on the fence. Paul left us no doubt because he wrote it again. Colossians 3, 16, 7 through 17. Let's take a look. Let the message, this is NIV, so let the message in ESV and NRSV, which I actually prefer on this text, it says word. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, so you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through what? Psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Let's try that again. Dwelling among you richly. So the word of Christ is dwelling among you richly as you teach and admonish one another, big words, with all wisdom, huge concept, through what? Psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And then it expounds on that because we've already talked about this concept of gratitude, but it says doing what? Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Folks, praise is powerful. Amen. Praise is powerful, and it's a defining it is the defining outpouring of our deep commitment to God and his people. If we say that we love God deeply, then praise should be a defining element of that love of God. We have an entire book of the Bible that is designated to what I believe are the two most commanded Christian practices in the entirety of the Bible, and that's prayer and praise. It's the book of Psalms. John Calvin, when discussing Psalms, he said this, "In considering the whole course of the life of David, it seemed to me that by his own footsteps, he showed me the way. And from this, I have experienced no small consolation. Even when David took a wrong turn in the road, he showed us the way we ought not go, and then the way to return to the main path." Calvin describes the Psalms as the anatomy of all parts of the soul. Prayer and praise, the anatomy of all parts of the soul. And so, my friends, it's fitting for all of us who have a relationship with God to adore him with our praise. And you might say now, well, Aaron, what if I don't feel like it? That happens a lot. I don't expect that every Sunday when you get here, you're like, boy, I'm bubbling to praise today. We've actually changed up the order of our service because when I was thinking about, not this specifically, but kind of generally thinking about life and coming in, we used to do the whole worship set at the front end of the service. You guys remember that? It was a few weeks ago. So we used to do the whole worship set at the front of the service. Well, I thought to myself, this seems a little problematic because what we're expecting is that people come in and they're just like, yeah, here we go. God is glorious. Let's face it, many of us don't come in the door that way. And so we moved it to after the sermon. So now after I've encouraged you greatly, that's what we're going to do after. Yeah! No. No. But Lord willing, you are encouraged so that you can have a boldness. And if you don't feel like it, which I understand, then my encouragement to you coming right from the Psalms is praise him because he's worthy. Praise him because he's worthy. Psalm 33, 1 through 5 says this, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteousness. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him with a 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is filled full of his unfailing love. Praise God for that, my friends. But maybe you're thinking, man, my circumstances really stink. Well, let's look at the Psalms together, okay? Let's look at Psalm 22, 1 through 5, where it says this. And this is, Jesus quotes this on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you, our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you, they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Amen. Amen to that. Folks, as we praise, we talked a few weeks ago about remembering. And Israel, they're writing this psalm for the choir master. It's to be sung in those moments when you're walking through and you're like, this stinks. Where's God? Why is this happening? Why is my car totaled? Why'd I lose my job? Why don't I have money for electricity or gas? Why is it so stinking cold? And the psalmist says, remember who he is. And praise him because of who he is. C.S. Lewis says this, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. I'll read that again. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It's so true. We praise what we enjoy. That's truth. But this idea that in praising, completing the enjoyment, what I got is this picture of God pouring out his unconditional love to us, sending his son to go on the cross and say those very words, God, why have you forsaken me? In groaning, he did all this for us and much, much more. And we get to complete the circle by turning it around in praise. It's about relationship. I delight to praise my wife because I so enjoy her. I delight to praise my daughter because I so enjoy her. I delight to praise my son because I so enjoy him. But folks, nothing can give us enjoyment like God does. It says that in his presence, we find the only source of what? Fullness of joy. Are we praising him? I want to invite up the worship team. We are we're a community that professes the incredible life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that. This Spirit dwells in all who have given their lives to God in Christ Jesus. I pray that as a community, we will continue to grow to embrace the realities of life in the Spirit. That we would be empowered to be fearlessly bold with eyes open so we can build each other up with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that in all things we would be overflowing with gratitude to the one who gives every good gift. Let's praise together.